रामा खावा तुझ बिहारे गोपी जाना वाला भावर धारे गोपी जाना वाला भावर धारे अनचारे यमुना तीरा अनचारे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत राधा शिवाचरि गो अचवेल जय श्री कृष्ण प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत राधा गो भक्तवृंद Thank you. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me in the back? My voice is not so loud. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanti Vigandasya Jnananjana Shakya Shakshumetanyena Sasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavarsya Sadamena Mugre Namra Bhagaravaya Dhali Vande Ham Shri Guru Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu about today? In New York on July 11th, 1966. So, Prabhupada was ordered by his spiritual master. Prabhupada met Bhakti Siddhanta Ji for the first time in 1922 in Calcutta. A friend of Prabhupada said, "There's a very special person I want you to meet, Sadhu." And Prabhupada said, "I met many sadhus, but Prabhupada's father used to be host to many sadhus. I'm not impressed by any of them. But his friend in Prabhupada's words, which he dragged him to meet Bhakti Siddhanta Ji. And I'll give you another day, the first meeting was seen. He is that powerful, power in youth, would be able to spread, take the message of Lord Chaitanya to the Western countries. So Prabhupada never took his spiritual master's instruction to heart. And finally, in 1965, after a great struggle, he sailed for America. Went on a passenger ship. Passenger ship is like a good train. And there were only two berths in that. One was occupied by Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada landed in New York. On the journey, he had two heart attacks. And Prabhupada thought, I've been here, a second heart attack. Can you all hear me clearly in the back? No? Who said no? So Prabhupada had two heart attacks. And after the second attack, he thought, my mission will not be successful. But that night, Prabhupada had a dream. He reached the Supreme Lord and demigod. We're rowing the boat. Prabhupada was a passenger. And Prabhupada felt assured. The Lord assured Prabhupada, your mission will be successful. Don't worry. So Prabhupada landed in New York and initially went to the home of Mr. Agarwal, who had invited Prabhupada. That's how he got his visa. And Prabhupada was staying over there. Then everybody would phone Mr. Agarwal and say, who is Sadhu who's staying in your house? Mrs. Agarwal was a smart lady. She said, everyone's calling me and everyone's forwarding me. I'll have a press conference in which everything will be revealed. So there was a press conference and in a newspaper called the Butler Eagle, they published a Prabhupada's interview. And one philosophy professor from Slippery Rock, what was Slippery Rock College? He saw the article and he invited Prabhupada to lecture at the university. So Prabhupada went there and Prabhupada was very happy that he got an invitation from a university professor to lecture to these students. And that is what Prabhupada had gone to the West for, to preach to the American. So after Prabhupada's lecture, Prabhupada would always say, any question? And the questions that were asked by the students were very thought-provoking. Prabhupada was very impressed by the quality of the questions. And he decided, now I should leave Mr. Agarwal's hospitality and go to New York. So Prabhupada came to New York and he had to go through a very rough period. He was once staying in the Bowery. The Bowery is the most, Bowery is the location in New York where you see nothing but drug addicts and drunkards. Prabhupada stayed over there. And finally, Prabhupada started his preaching. And when he started in Hyderabad, where? In Tompkins Square Park. If you go to Tompkins Square Park now, you'll see that they have a plaque that says, this is where the Hare Krishna movement from Acharya started preaching. So, Prabhupada was gradually attracting some followers. And Prabhupada's ultimate goal was to get a temple, to get his society established. Prabhupada was once sitting, there was an American, Mr. Rubin. He was a bus conductor. And Prabhupada was sitting on a bench, and Mr. Rubin came and sat next to him. And Mr. Rubin asked him, sir, what do you do? What's your profession? And I was a preacher, and I am going to preach. And there are temples and books which are not presently with me, but only time is separating them. And I have many temples and books. So Prabhupada was always confident that Lord Chaitanya's prediction, the holy name had been taken to every corner of the world, will succeed. So Prabhupada has some followers, and Prabhupada's real goal was to get a center. Prabhupada didn't even have the money, and they rented a facility on Second Avenue. And Prabhupada, he just had a rent for the first month, but he still took a gamble. And Krishna started sending him money. And Prabhupada had started in the meantime Bhagavad Gita classes. So 1 month after starting the Bhagavad Gita classes, Prabhupada wanted to incorporate his school. There was a devotee, and he knew a lawyer called Mr. Goldsmith. Mr. Goldsmith was a Jewish lawyer. He had 2 children. And he had some interest in spiritual topics. So he was invited by one of the new devotees to meet Prabhupada. Prabhupada was discussing with him how we should set up a society. So Prabhupada had few followers at that time, and when Prabhupada really consulted them, and now we must register our society. Prabhupada had business knowledge, so he knew the importance of registering as a society. So there was a discussion going on. What should we name our society? What name should we give? And most of the people who were assembled said, we should call this International Society for God Consciousness. People do not know Krishna, but God everyone knows. So his Prabhupada's audience was pretty unanimous on the point that we should call it International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada said, no, this is a little vague. We should be very clear, explicit. And Prabhupada said, we should call this society International Society for... So Prabhupada was financially in a weak position, but still he did not compromise. So Mr. Goldsmith also said, Krishna consciousness nobody will understand. Prabhupada said, it would be specific. And he insisted that the name be International Society of Krishna Consciousness. So in order to register the society, at that time, to register the society, you had to get a certain number of supporters or trustees. So at that time, Prabhupada didn't have any committed disciple. And he just had started giving lectures on the Bhagavad Gita in the evening on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. So Mr. Goldsmith said, Prabhupada, we have to register the society and we should get X number of signatures. So Goldsmith just announced to the audience that came to hear the class, now I want all of you to sign your name and your address. And after he got the required number of names, Goldsmith was satisfied. Now, Michael Grant, who was there before me, was the first. So, Prabhupada was discussing with Mr. Goldsmith that I want this society to be tax-free. Tax-free means you don't pay tax, and who they donate to you, they get tax exemption. So Prabhupada, he told Goswami, I want a society where there can be tax exemption and which conveys our purpose. And so Prabhupada at that time knew. At that time, Prabhupada hardly had money to pay the rent. And the entire followers of Prabhupada were hippies. In fact, when Prabhupada was lecturing, the only non-hippie in the audience was Mr. Goldsmith, the lawyer, who would come to hear Prabhupada lectures with his two sons. So Prabhupada at that time, Prabhupada was struggling to even pay the rent. But he could foresee the day will come when the society would be very big and people would donate huge sums of money. And Prabhupada said, we should get all the facilities that a religious society should get. In India, religious societies are not tax exempt, but in the Western world, they are. And in some parts of the world, the government matches the donation that you give to the temple. So Prabhupada registered ISKCON on July 11, 1966. So Mr. Goldsmith created a society in which donors would get tax exemption and it was a bona fide religious society. Now, what should be the goal of the society? In any trust document that any of you have read, you will see that first is a memorandum, and then there is objects of the trust. What is the trust going to do? Your objects will be specified, and the objects match the laws, then they get their facility. So ISKCON was established. And Prabhupada listed the seven goals of ISKCON. These seven goals were the same that Prabhupada had given when he established League of Devotees in Jhansi. Prabhupada, before he went to the West, he was struggling to establish Krishna consciousness in India. And he was in Jhansi. And he was very encouraged by the response he got. And in Jhansi, Prabhupada created a society called League of Devotees. So the objects which Prabhupada finally incorporated in the New York document was very similar to the object that Prabhupada had established in League of Devotees. So we'll discuss the seven objects. Is that right? Can you hear me in the back? Okay. So, these are the same objects, more very similar to what Prabhupada had written in 1953 for the League of Devotees document. First point. Seven purposes of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. To systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve unity and peace in the world. Prabhupada should comment that they had the United Nations and they had another body before that and it was created to establish peace. But what are we seeing? Seeing that it's the opposite. Because Prabhupada said, ISKCON will be the real society that can bring peace to the world. Because in our philosophy, We understand that God is the proprietor and enjoyer and the creator. So Prabhupada says, first purpose is to propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large. So there are so many schools and colleges everywhere, in India, especially in every corner you see a school. Now, are they giving any spiritual education? Prahlad Maharaj said, Prahmaraj Shatpagya, spiritual life should be cultivated, spiritual knowledge should be cultivated from the age of 5. But by and large, society doesn't recognize it. So, Prabhupada said, the first objective of our society is going to be to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to the society at large. So, how do you propagate spiritual knowledge? By preaching. And by preaching and educating others. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Ji used to say, if at all there's a shortage of anything on the planet, it is what? It's knowledge of God. Spiritual knowledge. I was once lecturing in a university in America, and that university had 23 departments, and no department for. You know, they had 2,300 departments. Sorry. And I asked them, any department that gives you spiritual knowledge? And it was Prabhupada was lecturing in a university in Boston, and he said, it's a great institute. Is there any department that tells you what happens after that? It was complete silence. So, one of the objects of ISKCON is to propagate spiritual knowledge and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life. Prabhupada emphasized simple living, high thinking. The materialistic philosophy is the opposite. Their philosophy is high living and simple thinking. Make borrow steel. Live as high as you can. And think poorly like the animals. Eating, sleeping, depending on breathing. So Prabhupada said we should give to the society spiritual knowledge and teach people the values of life. People don't know what the goal of life is. They are in ignorance. And we can see how Prabhupada single-handedly came to America with hardly any Lakshmi with him. But he had his books and he had confidence that people will take to Krishna consciousness if they are presented with the real truth. When Prabhupada first came, when Prabhupada first came to New York, the sannyasis that approached him, the swamis, who were staying there. Swamiji, you're new to our country, to this country. If you go in dhoti kurtas, nobody will listen to you. But Prabhupada refused to compromise. So Prabhupada always presented the truth. Therefore, when people would ask him, why your Bhagavad Gita called as it is, Prabhupada then explained why he named it as it is. So the first object, the first object of his God is to propagate spiritual knowledge. And second, to propagate the consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And so does that. So the second objective is to propagate knowledge as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So the beauty of Prabhupada's presentation is he never compromised. He didn't compromise when it was a question of naming the society. He did not compromise in his purpose. He presented the truth as it is. There have been so many translations of the Bhagavad Gita, but the other translations have hardly produced any devotee. Whereas, since the appearance of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the Bhagavad Gita as it is now available in more than 60 languages around the world. And people all over the world have them. A few years ago, we printed the Bhagavad Gita in Karachi, Pakistan also. So, Prabhupada is saying, another object of our society is to reveal the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in its pure form. People use the Bhagavatam for commercial reasons. There are many kalakars who will start straight with Rasa Leela, for the Lord. Whereas the Bhagavatam presents this Rasa Leela only after having presented Krishna's childhood pastime, after having established that Krishna is the Supreme. So, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam are both most important books of knowledge. And Bhagavad Gita has to be read as it is. Srimad Bhagavatam, ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge. Nasta Praesha Abhadeshu, Netyam Bhagavad Sevaya. Bhagavad Gita must okay. Bhagavad Gita is. But regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious in the heart will be destroyed. So Prabhupada said, our goal is to present Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada, when he sailed to the west from Calcutta, he took with him some pamphlets, a small booklet, and that booklet he had written. We had presented Srimad Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. And that was Prabhupada's original concept. So that is the objective of ISKCON. That's why in ISKCON temples, in the morning we study the Bhagavatam, and in the evening we study the Bhagavad Gita. Then, see, to bring the members of the society together with each other nearer to Krishna, the prime entity. Thus to develop the idea within the members and in humanity at large, each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead Krishna. So this is again more or less the same point. Our goal is what? To bring the members of society together. So are people together today? Are people together today? Instead of unity, there is complete disunity. In the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, the Lord was very pleased with the austerity of the Prachetas. So the Lord told the Prachetas, I'm very pleased by all of you, because all of you brothers have only one occupation. And what is that one occupation? Emotional service. Therefore, ask me whatever you want. So the Lord is pleased when he sees that we all have one occupation. Similarly, in a temple, you have devotees from different backgrounds, different parts of the world. But they work together. Why? Because they have a common goal of pleasing Krishna. So Prabhupada is saying, society is disunited. Prabhupada used to quote this phrase, united we stand, divided we fall. Is that right? Yeah. So unity is very important. Unity can only be achieved if we are focused on the central point to please Krishna. Similarly, even amongst devotees, unless we have Krishna's interest as paramount, and our mission is mainly to serve Krishna, there will not be unity. The politicians, they arrive at peace talks, they come to peace talks, they make peace agreements, but no time is broken. So what society needs is this is spiritual knowledge. Then D, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregation chanting the holy name of God and revealing the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So another objective of ISKCON is to encourage the Sankirtan movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the pioneer of the Sankirtan movement, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone on a trip of South India. And on that trip of South India, thousands of people would come to see him everywhere. And he was just inspired and rich. Once a Grihastha, Kurma, greeted, welcome Mahaprabhu at his home. He said, I am very unhappy at home. Please, can I join your woman? Prabhupada saw, Lord Chaitanya saw, his man had a wife and children. He said, no, you stay where you are. Chant the holy name and peace and glory to the holy name. Read the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad, and peace and glory. In this way, you will never be separated from me, and I will never be separated from you. So whoever came to see Lord Chaitanya, he would give everyone the same instruction. So one of the objects of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is to propagate the Samkirtan Movement. So the Samkirtan Movement is all over the world. All over the world we see that people love the Harina. In Moscow, you heard of Moscow? Okay. In Moscow, they have 5 Samkirtan parties going on every day. It's a big city. 5 Samkirtan parties going on every day. So the Harinam Samkirtan is very powerful too. Unfortunately, we know it's not being pushed at the same speed as it was at one time. So this is, how did Prabhupada start this movement? By Samkirtan, doing Kirtan and Trumpet Square Park. So this chanting the holy name, congregation chanting the holy name, is very attractive. Like, you know, Russian Kirtan party here, they go out every day. So they get a very positive response. So Samkirtan is welcomed by everyone, appreciated by everyone. So Prabhupada is saying, one of the objects is to spread the Samkirtan movement, congregation chanting of the holy name. So congregation chanting of the holy name is so powerful that if you take part in it, your heart will get cleansed. And the congregation chanting can be done by anyone. There's no hard and fast rule. In many cities of the world, regularly, the Samkirtan parties go out. In fact, in some places, people complain, we don't see a Samkirtan party anymore. So, propagating the Samkirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is one of our objects. To erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastime dedicated to the personality of Godhead. So, after Prabhupada established a movement in America, Canada, and parts of Europe, Prabhupada started meditating on India. And Prabhupada was very keen that we establish major centers in Vrindavan and Mayapur. Prabhupada was very keen that we have a center in Vrindavan and Mayapur, where his disciples come from the whole world to take shelter and to hear about the Lord's pastime. So right after the movement was established, Prabhupada started writing and looking for land. He was looking for land in Vrindavan. And one time he was thinking of having a college in Nala Damodar temple. Prabhupada wanted a location, an institute, where his foreign disciples could be educated in Krishna consciousness. So one of the objects of this is, so society is, to erect temples where? In the holy dham. When we come to the holy dham, our mood should be, I should hear from some sadhu philosophy by which I can achieve the goal of life. The mood should not be, oh, I'm going to place a pilgrimage. I'll leave my sins behind. Come back and sin again. And come back again for atonement. That should not be our mood. Our mood, we go to the Holy Dhamma, should be to hear philosophy that will help you to understand the goal of life. So Prabhupada initially wanted a temple in Vrindavan, and he was looking for land. When he heard that somebody had a land, what's the name, Devishakti, of the... Yeah, so the Sarav family, they were planning on building, having a petrol pump here at this circuit. So Prabhupada convinced them, and they gave this land. Similarly, in Mayapur, Prabhupada sent Tamalakrishna Maharaj and others. Prabhupada wanted land in Mayapur. Certain vested interests were making it difficult. But eventually, Prabhupada's disciples succeeded in buying the land. And then you see the development of Mayapur. So Prabhupada was a great visionary. So he knew that I must have a place in a holy dham where my disciples could come and be trained in Krishna consciousness. So that was one of the objects of ISKCON, to have places of education in a dham. A holy place of transcendental pastime. Then next, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. So we have to be exemplary, as I said, simple living and high thinking. Simple living means you minimize your bodily needs, you minimize your social needs, and high thinking. Always think about it. How can I achieve the goal of life? Asala Brahma Jagyasa. How can I achieve the goal of life? That is what we should be meditating. So, we should we have to preach how to lead a simple life. Prabhupada was very interested in farm projects. The first real farm that ISKCON had in the West was in New Vrindavan. And Prabhupada's mood was, he wanted to show to the world the importance of cow protection, the benefits of cow protection, and where people will live a simple life and still society. Today you see pollution levels are very high. It's getting warmer day by day, isn't it? If you look at a global situation, the whole world is getting warmer day by day. And that's a byproduct of leading a polluted life. And we want to have unlimited demand, unlimited wishes. You see in the house of rich people, 4, 5, 6 cars. And in each car there's only one person traveling. So we should show the society simple living and high thinking. Then with a view towards, this is the last, 7th, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writing. So Prabhupada is saying, in order to achieve the first 6 goals of Krishna consciousness, what is necessary? Periodicals, books, magazines, namely books. Prabhupada started the Back to Godhead magazine. Initially, Prabhupada started Back to Godhead. It was more like a 1-page, 2-page newspaper. But then one librarian told Prabhupada, this is good. This people will read and throw away. If you must have books that people will keep. And Prabhupada said that I took this as a message from Krishna, and then he started focusing more on books. Of course, in 1935, when Prabhupada was in Radhakund, when Bhaktisiddhanta Ji was leading a big parikram in Radhakund, he told Prabhupada, he drew a picture of a mridanga and said, If Krishna gives you the facility, then what should you do? You print book. So Prabhupada, in the seventh objective of ISKCON, is making it clear that the first six can only be realized if we also do books. Prabhupada emphasized book production and book distribution. Prabhupada himself would get up in the night, 10 o'clock, and translate books all night till the next morning. Even during his last days in Vrindavan, where he could barely speak, barely talk, he, with the assistance of several devotees, did a translation of 10 Canto parts, 2 or 3. So Prabhupada emphasized the importance of book distribution and book reading. Because if you educate a society, you have to educate a society based on what? Based on some scriptural support. Religion means the words of God. Dharmam desakshat bhagavat panina. So unless we broadcast the words of the Lord, society will not get exposed to real religion. So Prabhupada said one of our objectives is to publish and distribute periodicals. Prabhupada created a separate trust to publish books. What is that trust called? Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Prabhupada established two trusts. One, ISKCON, and after ISKCON was established, he established Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, the purpose of which is to print and distribute books. So, book distribution is very important. Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, then what do? Distribute my books. Prabhupada said, these books are so powerful that even if you read one word and apply it to your life, you can make it successful. So, seventh objective is to publish and distribute. Of course, not mentioned here, but Prabhupada implied is you also have to study these books. Just print and distribute, and you don't study the books, would that be a great advantage? No. So we should study these books. And therefore, to study these books, we have morning class, evening class. And in addition, you can do private reading. Because spiritual knowledge is very necessary if we want to succeed spiritually. Therefore, reading, Prabhupada said, when Krishna sees that you're reading his books, Krishna says, here is someone who's trying to understand me, so let me give him the understanding in which he can come to me. So, this principle of reading, printing, and distribution should be done by everyone. And if you do this, you'll change the face of the world. So, 2 days away, auspicious day, the day that Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON. And Prabhupada said, the ISKCON movement will go on spreading for the next 10,000 years. Kali Yuga is progressing, and the golden era of Lord Chaitanya's teaching will also go on spreading. So, our goal should be to study the books. These books are source of knowledge. Raja Vidya, Raja Guya. And if we study the books, we sharpen our intelligence. And with sharp intelligence, you can discriminate between what is desirable and what is undesirable. So, Prabhupada created this ISKCON society. The ISKCON word is so popular in India that every month we had to file a court case against someone. Why? Because everyone was imitating ISKCON. ISKCON, they will publish ISKCON with K, not there, or C. They'll just remove one alphabet. So the pronunciation is ISKCON. But the spelling is not the same. There was a big businessman in Ahmedabad, a builder. He had his own mall, his own theater, his own. So we told him, this is not proper. And we have several court cases going on. He said, I will fight till the end. This guy's name is so lucky, I don't want to give it up. He said, he made his whole fortune after he started using the name ISKCON. So ISKCON is Prabhupada's. Prabhupada coined this word, Omeshara, the offering of Rupa Goswami in Pudiyavali. And we should get totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So, on this auspicious day, we should thank Prabhupada for having taken the trouble to establish Krishna consciousness. Today, when we see, we have all the facilities, isn't it? You have big temples. You want to go out, you get a vehicle. In fact, people get spoiled when they join this court. And they get spoiled in a sense. They get to see so many conveniences. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he would take a tanga to go to Mathura. And he would travel in a third-class compartment from Mathura to Delhi. And then he would take a cycle rickshaw, go to the printer, and he was publishing a book. And when he was translating the Bhagavatam first canto, he was using a broken typewriter that somebody had given him. So, and today, when you go somewhere, you have someone to receive you, isn't it? And you go somewhere, and your chances are you have a vehicle to take you. You go somewhere, someone's there to pick you up. And in Prabhupada's time, he went through all this. No one to help him, no one to say bye-bye, no one to receive him. But he still struggled and established the ISKCON movement. So the ISKCON movement, Prabhupada emphasized, purity is a force. So we should follow the principle of purity and encourage purity. And that will give strength. And purity is very important. So on this day, we can thank Prabhupada for having been at ISKCON, for having struggled in India and the West, and finally created a society that is destined to go on for the next 1,000 years. Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya has already predicted that the holy name will be chanted in every town and village. If you do it, you can take the credit. But if you don't do it, somebody else will take the credit. So we are fortunate in that we have the opportunity to engage in service in Prabhupada's ISKCON. Hare Krishna. It's past 9. Anyone wants to make some comments? Devi Shakti? Anyone wants to make some comments? Yes, question. Could you all hear in the back? Yeah.
My question is that.
Hare Krishna. Yeah.
So you told that there are seven, Prabhupada gave us seven systemic rules.
Seven objectives for creating ISKCON.
For incorporating ISKCON. And all the six objectives depend on the seventh one, that is publishing and printing periodical magazines, book distribution. So how to get out of the comfort zone and prepare ourselves to fulfill all the seventh objective so that all the six are fulfilled?
Well, purity is the force. We should endeavor to distribute books, read books. That will make your spiritual foundation very strong. And then you'll be able to fight Maya. We should read, hear the glories of preaching. If you want to think about comfort, have you heard this word comfort zone before? It's becoming increasingly popular in ISKCON now. So comfort zone means I will serve Krishna but on my terms. I will have this, I will have this, I will have that. Where the devotees understanding it. Whichever the situation is, I should engage in service. Just because it's cold or challenging, we don't say we won't execute service.
Thank you. I was also appreciating that how Prabhupada struggled all alone to build a family of ISKCON because he was not in any cars or any facilities, but that was going by road. And now we have multiple cars pick up from the airport, go everywhere for distribution, nice vans.
Our mood of service should be, I will serve as needed. No, I'll serve as I want. I will serve as whatever is needed. Just like in the army, you have no choice. If they transfer you to Kashmir, you have to go there. So our mood should be, the service is being done for Krishna. Okay, yeah.
Thank you so much for
you're going to find another 5 minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for the wonderful class, Maharaj. Again, about the seventh objective, today we see young people, some of them don't even read books. What to speak of spiritual, transcendental, philosophical literature. And audio visual formats are very popular. So, to fulfill the seventh objective, would it be appropriate for us to focus then on audiovisual literature, podcasts, video series and other things where we propagate Prabhupada's message through that?
Yes, you can do that also. ISKCON also doing that. But nothing could replace reading a book. If you read the books attentively, absorb it. You see a video, it's good, a spiritual video, but you can't be that serious. Okay. Courses in ISKCON. Sri Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhava. Devotees are really realizing the importance of reading. They're reading more and more. Okay. Yeah.
So related to that, I have a question, because there are so many fortunate souls who are connected to ISKCON, but often if you see there are so many, like, you know, because of so many movements floating, especially in Vrindavan, they are all, like, you know, I would say all, some of them are leaving ISKCON and joining some other movement, because I would definitely say they are unfortunate. So my question is, how do we bring them back to this movement? What tools and techniques that we can use, or how can we bring them back to a movement?
Sometimes people think, Prabhupada's books are so basic. I want some brahman, you know, some special relationship. For us to even follow Prabhupada's presentation in simple language is a challenge. And they're unfortunate. Those who get influenced by deep talk, and it was the revelation of Radha Krishna. I mean, the people leave due to various reasons, but they have to realize that they made a mistake, then they can come back. Yeah. Well, Prabhupada said that everything you need to know is in my books. So we should not think that there is some special rasa knowledge that is not in Prabhupada's books. And what would be the second part of your question?
Devotees are going and hearing
Best is just here. What is spoken in the classes and it's gone. And read Prabhupada's book. And there are very few people who present as it is and all knowledge of the scriptures. So I always encourage devotees to just listen to the ISKCON leaders who give classes. And we should have these two classes every day in every temple. Okay, so thank you. Thank all the Vaishnavas.